Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of John.
John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. My message this morning is not on Father's Day, but my message has to do with the lessons of Vacation Bible School. So those of you that are working in Bible school, maybe this will be helpful and profitable to you. I've gone through, been studying here in the last couple of weeks, the lessons in Vacation Bible School. Some of us, there are three different classes in Bible school, and different ones of us are responsible for those classes, as well as the study that will be done out in the auditorium and the skit that will be done, and that's the prop up here for the skit. But we're going to, time permitting this morning, I'll have to be fast to do it, but I want to scan through the lessons of Vacation Bible School, and it'll be a blessing as we look in the Word of God together, and it'll be helpful to any that are here that will be teaching through the lessons. The title of my message this morning is Discovering Jesus, and that's what we want the children to do, is to discover the Lord Jesus. And we will see, I'll give you the outline first of all. The day number one, we see Jesus taking bold claims, and he does take bold claims for himself, and there are five of them. I could have brought some props up here. I made Beth Ann some steaks, five steaks, and I trust that the other teachers have five steaks as well, and she wrote the five claims that the Lord made for himself, or five of them. There are more, of course, than that on those steaks. I could have had some of that stuff up here this morning. But the Lord Jesus, first of all, claimed that he was God. He made bold claims for himself. And we want the Sunday school, these children that come to Vacation Bible School, rather, to discover the Lord Jesus, to realize that he is different than anybody else that ever came into this world. First of all, he claimed that he was God. And others claimed that he was God as well. And in calling himself the Son of God, he is saying that he is God and that he is deity. Secondly, he claimed that he could forgive sins, and we'll see that time permitting here. Thirdly, he claimed, this is all having to do with the first day and the bold claims that the Lord makes, he claims deity. He claims that he can forgive sins. He claims to be perfect. And others said he was perfect without sin. He claims to be the Creator, and the Scriptures point out that truth, that he is the Creator. And the fifth claim is a very bold claim, that he is the only way to get to heaven. Now, that is not a popular thing to say in this day of compromise that we live in and pluralism. But that is the claim of the Scriptures and the Lord Jesus, that he is the only way to heaven. So the Lord Jesus himself is different. Well, if he's different in day two, here's what we're going to look at, that he came into the world different. He had a different birth. And it was different in a number of ways. Unlike anybody else's birth, it was prophesied. There was also angelic announcements about his birth. You remember the angels appeared to Mary, appeared to Joseph, appeared to the shepherds there as they kept watch over their flock. And then you have, as the Lord is taken to the temple, you have the testimony of Simeon. We'll mention that this morning, the testimony of Anna. And then when the Lord Jesus was probably a year or two old, the Magi came, contrary to the Christmas scenes that we see. Well, he is different on the first day. He came into the world different. He had a different birth. But the Lord Jesus also lived a different life on Wednesday we're going to present to the children. He had a totally different life than anybody else that ever lived. His works were different, and his words were different. His works were different in that he had power over diseases. He also had power over nature. Again, we'll demonstrate to them that he had power over sins, and he has power over death. He had it in his own death, and he has power over death as far as we're concerned. His words were certainly different as well. They were not conventional words. They were different, and they were wonderful. And then on Thursday, we will see that the Lord Jesus' death was different as well. He is different. His birth was different. His life was different on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we'll see that his death was different. He died a death that was different than anybody else. And a number of things could be said about that, but the main thing is the Lord Jesus, when He died, I don't know if you can say one thing is the main thing, but this is certainly obvious, He didn't stay dead. And everybody else that's ever died has stayed dead. You say, well, there was people that got resurrected. Yeah, they were, but they died again. And their bodies went into the grave. Unlike the Lord Jesus, who when He died, He was bodily resurrected and stayed resurrected. And then on the last day, on Friday, we'll see that not only is He different, and His birth is different, His life is different, was different, His death was different, but also, you can be different. And people that come to know Christ as Savior, their life changes. They're not the same person that they used to be. They are different. The disciples were different after the Lord Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And there are other people that we can look at their testimonies and see the direction their life was going and the sin and depravity that they were in and the trouble that they were in. And they turned to the Lord Jesus, and their life was totally different. So we want to look at these things and think about, first of all, the bold claims of the Lord Jesus. And first of all, we'll look here and just read some verses in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll see these bold claims the Lord was making for Himself. But John chapter 8 and verse 12, the first part of that verse, says, "Then Jesus spake again of them, saying, I am the light of the world." And the Lord was always saying things like that and infuriating those people that were around Him. He said, "I am the light of the world." Well, notice the Pharisees in verse 13. "The Pharisees therefore said to Him, Thou just bearest witness of thyself. Thy witness is not true." Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear witness of myself, yet my witness is true. For I know from where I came and where I go. But ye cannot tell from where I come and where I go." The Lord was always making these bold statements about Himself. Look at verse 23. He said unto them, He's saying, "I'm different." He says, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." And then look at verse 56. Verse 56. They, of course, had said to Him in that dialogue, they said, "We're Abraham's seed." He said, "Yeah, I know you're Abraham's seed physically, but you're not Abraham's seed spiritually." He's in verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, this is a bold statement from somebody, isn't it? "Abraham, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And they said, then the Jews said to Him, "Thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" You claim you've seen Abraham, you're not even 50 years old. Abraham lived a long time ago, hundreds of years ago. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, what is He saying? He's not saying before Abraham was, I was. I got created before Him. He said before Abraham was, I am. And then, of course, they pick up stones to stone Him, which they did on numerous occasions. And why were they wanting to stone Him? Well, it tells us very clearly, for instance, in John chapter 10, and we won't take the time to read all these verses, but the Lord was making clear statements there that He was God in the flesh. He said, "I and my Father are one," speaking about God. And the words that He was using in the original are very clear that He's claiming equality with God. And they would pick up stones to stone Him, and He said, "For which good work that I've done, you're going to stone me?" And they said, "It's not for a good work we're going to stone you, but it's for blasphemy. Because you're just a man, and you're making yourself out to be God." And He says, "If I don't do the works of my Father," in other words, you know, I could tell somebody, "I am a son of God." That is true. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And if they say, "We're going to stone you for blasphemy, claiming you're God," I'd say, "Wait a minute, I didn't say I was God. I said that I'm a child of God, and I'm a mature child of God, and that I've come into the inheritance of God, and that makes me a son of God, but I'm not claiming to be God." But when they sought to stone the Lord Jesus, He didn't say, "Wait a minute, let me clear this up." He said, "Listen, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me." But if I do, although you may not believe me, believe the works that I do, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We are one. I am God. I am the Son of God. I am deity. And the Lord made those very clear statements. Certainly there were others who made similar statements about Him. And we won't take time to read it, but John the Apostle, John the Lord's disciple, possibly knew the Lord Jesus even better than any of the other disciples did. And if you read that those first few verses of 1 John chapter 1, you'll see how well John knew the Lord Jesus. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which our eyes have beheld, which we have handled of the word of life," he said, "we knew Him, and I knew Him." And what does John say about Him? He says, "In the beginning," in his gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And he said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." John said, "I know what I'm talking about. I'm a witness of Him. I know Him, and I know that He was with the Father in eternity past, and He is God." The Lord made these tremendous claims for Himself. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 16. Chapter 5 and verse 16. Here the Lord Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath day. And it says, "Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day." That is, the fellow that was laying there lame, which he had been for 38 years, and the Lord told him to rise and take up his bed and walk. And they sought to persecute Him because He had done it on the Sabbath day. And verse 17 says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath day, but said also that God was His Father." Patera idion. That, I don't know much Greek, but I know that. He wasn't just saying, "God's my Father," like you and I would say it. He was saying, "God is uniquely my Father." And so He was making Himself equal with God. Very clear. The Jews sought therefore more to kill Him, because not only broken the Sabbath, but said God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Well, the Lord Jesus certainly states His response there. Look at verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do.'" Now, people use that verse and say, "Well, you see, Jesus isn't God. He said He couldn't do anything by Himself. He had to have the Father help Him do it." And that is the opposite of what that verse is saying. The Lord Jesus is saying the Son can do nothing of Himself. In other words, He's saying, "I and my Father are one. The Father works and I work, and I cannot do anything contrary to the Father, because He and I are one. I am deity with Him. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for whatever things He doeth, these also doeth the Son in the same manner." And the Lord is very clearly stating that He is deity. Notice what it says here in the next two or three verses. "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." And listen to three things here. "For as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He will." He says, secondly, "The Father judges no man. He has committed all judgment to the Son." And thirdly, "That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father." He says, "I can do the same works of my Father. My Father can raise the dead. I can raise the dead. The Father doesn't even judge. He has committed all judgment now to the Son." And He says, "I'm deserving of the same honor that the Father is." And so we're going to tell and present to these young people and these children on day one of Bible school that Jesus is different. He claimed to be different. He claimed to be God. He also claimed that He could forgive sins. And we're going to have to move fast here. I can see that. The Lord claimed this for Himself. Not only that He was God, but He said, "I can forgive sins." You remember in Mark chapter 2, that fellow was let down through the roof before the Lord Jesus. And there he is, on that bed in front of the Lord Jesus, and no doubt everybody around says, well, I guess he's going to try to heal this fellow. And what does Jesus say? He says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the people around him, without saying it, the scribes, I think it was, around him, said, who does he think he is forgiving somebody's sins? Only God, they say, they're thinking, can forgive sins. And it says the Lord knew what they were perceiving in their spirit. And he said, so that you might know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up and walks. But he is God. He professed to be God. He's different. And he professed to be able to forgive sins. And he indeed can. He was absolutely perfect. And he claimed that for himself. He said, which one of you convinceth me of sin? Now, there's not a person in this room that would look anybody else in the eye. I would never look any of you in the eyes and say, which one of you convinceth me of sin? I mean, I know I'm a sinner and you know I am too. Every one of you in here has probably seen or heard me either say something wrong or do something wrong. We've all sinned. But the Lord Jesus could look anybody straight in the eye and say, which one of you convinceth me of sin? And people that are around him said, I find no fault in this man. A fellow hanging on the cross next to him said, this man's done nothing amiss. And John, who knew him best, said, I knew him, and in him is no sin. And Peter said, I never saw him do a sin. And Paul, who was the theologian who wrote the book of Romans, said he knew no sin. There wasn't even a sinful thought in him. And so he's different. He's God. He forgives sins. He's perfect. And he is the Creator. And we cited that a while ago in John chapter 1 as the Lord Jesus was the Word and all things were made by him. And there are other scriptures that say the same thing. But then the Lord Jesus, fifthly, says a very bold thing. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the other disciples testified to the same thing. Peter said the same thing. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. John said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You don't have spiritual life if you don't have Christ. And Paul said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But that is a bold statement the Lord Jesus made. So we're going to present on day one that the Lord Jesus is different. Well, what about day two? Well, on day two, we're going to say, indeed, he was different. He had a different birth. His birth was altogether different. And I'll just briefly mention some things in this. The Lord's birth was different, and we're going to present that certainly to the young people. None of us come into the world, we just show up, don't we? I mean, there's nothing written about it. You can't even look at a magazine that's 10 years old and see anything about me coming into the world. There's just nothing there. I just showed up. And that's the way it was with you. But the birth of the Lord Jesus was not that way. There are all these prophecies in the Old Testament, hundreds of years, 700 years before Jesus got here, that told about his coming. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Zechariah chapter 13 says that somebody's going to betray him, and when they do, they're going to cast the money down that they got from betraying him. They're going to throw the money down in the house of the Lord or in the temple. Well, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, so the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, had to be born prior to 70 AD. And if you look at Daniel chapter 9, as a matter of fact, you can see the exact time that the Lord Jesus, you can count it out and find out the exact time that the Messiah would be upon the earth. We mentioned the angelic announcement. There was no angelic announcement to my mother that I was about to be born. There was to Jesus. And the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. The angel appeared also to Joseph and said, don't put away Mary, thy wife, says that which is born in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you're to name his name, call his name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. When the Lord Jesus was born, the angels appeared to the shepherd. An angel appeared to the shepherds on the hill and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. The word gospel. I bring you the gospel. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, as Jews, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so there was the angelic announcements. There was also the testimony of others. They took Jesus to the temple, and there was Simeon there, who it says was a righteous man. And it says the Lord revealed to Simeon at some time in his life that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And when he looked up and saw Jesus, it says he took him up in his arms, and he said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And Anna came in, and she saw Jesus, and she knew who he was, and it says she spake of him to all those that look for redemption in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus was different, and his birth was different. His life was certainly different. His life was altogether different than anybody else who ever lived. Oh, there were great prophets that had lived before, but there was never anybody that ever showed up that ever lived on this world like the Lord Jesus. And in day three, we'll present that to the children, that not only was his birth different, but his life was different. It was different in a lot of ways, but we're going to emphasize two of them. It was different as far as his works were concerned. For he had power that nobody else ever had. He could heal what seemed to be simple things like a fever. He was in the house of Peter. Peter's mother-in-law, of course, wanted to serve the Lord Jesus, but she was sick with a fever. And the Lord Jesus touched her and healed her of her fever. But the Lord healed more desperate diseases as well. It's already been mentioned this morning of that leper who came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." He reached out and touched him, and immediately the man was cleansed. In Luke chapter 17, and of course you can read about so many of these healings in different ones of the Gospels, but I generally pick references in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers that were cleansed. They were crying out to the Lord Jesus to be cleansed, and he just said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Or while they're on the way to the priest, all 10 of them get cleansed. We know that only one came back to thank the Lord Jesus for cleansing him. But it was no problem with the Lord Jesus. He was different. His works were different. He had power over any kind of illness. Again, you think of that man in Luke chapter 5 who was let down before the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house." And it says the man arose, took up his bed, and went forth. I love the story in Luke chapter 6. You know, I read these stories, and I was just studying yesterday some more and just thrilling with it. Matter of fact, I was praying. I said, "Lord, help me." Sometimes I get so excited reading about the Lord Jesus at home, and it's like I get on the platform and I'm not as excited. Any of you speakers have the same experience? And I want to be excited about it. It's wonderful when you read these accounts of the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, it says the Lord was in the synagogue, and it was on the Sabbath day. And there was a fellow there, and he had a paralyzed right hand. He couldn't do anything with his right hand. And it said the Pharisees and the scribes there were watching him, whether he was going to do anything to heal this fellow on the Sabbath day. And the Lord said, as he looked at them with indignation, he said, "I love this. The fellow's over there with his hand paralyzed." And the Lord knows what their thoughts are. And the Lord says, "Stand up." And the fellow stands up. He says, "Stretch forth thy hand." And the man stretches forth his hand. And the next verse says they were furious about it. The Lord didn't back down to him, and he could heal any disease. He healed the woman with that issue of blood without even touching her. Just in faith, she knew he could heal her, and she just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. People cried out to the Lord Jesus, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," because they were blind. And the Lord said, "Come here." And they would say, "The Master calls for you, come." And he would come to the Lord and say, "Would you like me to do for you?" And they said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And the Lord would give them their sight. He had power over any kind of disease. He had power over nature. And you don't see that in anybody else. Oh, there's a few miracles like that. But the Lord had an obvious power over nature. Remember, He was out in the ship with His disciples, and they were rowing for their life. His ship was about to capsize, and they were going to be drowned, as plenty of people were in the Sea of Galilee and lost their lives there. And the Lord is asleep, and they wake Him up and say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Do something. He says, O ye of little faith, peace, be still. The wind stops, the waves calm down. The Lord had power over nature. He had power over sin, as we've already said, and He had power over death. As someone has said, and I love the expression, the Lord broke up every funeral that He ever went to. He's going in the city of Nain. The funeral procession's coming out. That poor widow lady had already lost her husband. Now she's lost her only son. And the Lord says, stop. Reaches out, touches the platform, the body's on, and says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the fellow sits up and begins to speak. The Lord goes into that room where that little girl, the ruler of the synagogue, that little 12-year-old girl had died. And He said, she's not dead, she just sleeps. And they laughed Him to scorn. He said she had died, He said she sleepeth, because He knew that He was going to resurrect her. Well, they knew she was dead. Matter of fact, I was watching a little television the other day about the Kaylee Anthony trial, and I heard a detective talking about the smell of death. And he said, if you've ever smelled a decomposing body, you will never forget it. It is a horrible thing. He said, it doesn't smell like anything else you've ever smelled. It was terrible. And the Lord Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and He says, roll back the stone. Martha says, Master, says, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinketh. Don't do that. And Jesus said, didn't I say that if you believe, you'll see the power of God? And then He prays to His Father, not for help. He says, Lord, I know that you believe me, that you hear me always, but He says, I want these people to see the power of God. And He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And Jesus says, loose him and let him go. And so we're going to tell the children that the Lord Jesus was different than other people. His life was altogether different. He had power over any kind of disease. He had power over nature and over sin and over death. And His words were different as well. The Lord Jesus was powerful with His words. People said, He teaches the one that has authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Even the people that were sent to arrest Him, they come back. And the people that sent Him says, well, why didn't you bring Him back? And they say, never man spake like this man. In Mark chapter 11, the Lord was so wise, those people around Him said, by what authority do you do these things? The Lord said, tell you what, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from the earth? They said, He said, if we say it was from heaven, then He's going to say, why didn't you believe Him then? If we say He's from the earth, then that's going to upset the people because they knew John was a great prophet. They say, well, we don't know. He said, well, you don't answer my question, I'm not going to answer your question. The Lord had a wisdom like nobody else. His words were wonderful, and they were different than the words of others. People at the time would say, you ought to love your neighbors, but hate your enemies, and seek to get vengeance on your enemy. But what did the Lord say? We won't take time and can't take time this morning to read the verses, but you can read them in Matthew chapter 5. The Lord said, I say unto you, although people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies, I say unto you, love your enemies and do good to them. And do good to those who spitefully use you. The Lord's words were always different. I read a story the other day about a fellow who came home and found some fellows burglarizing his house. There was about 10 of them. And when he came in, they took off running except for 2 of them. And he chased 2 of them in the backyard, and he had a swimming pool. And he pushed one of them, and the fellow went into the pool, and the other fellow went off a little ways, and he turned around, and the fellow he had pushed in the pool couldn't swim, and he was drowning. So he jumped in, and rescued the fella, saved his life. What do you think the fella did? The fella yelled to his friend and tried to rob him again. And he pushed the fella in the pool again. And the fella started gasping for air again, and he jumped in and rescued him a second time. I said, well, there's love your enemies there. But the Lord says, don't just love your neighbor, but love your enemies. The Lord, certainly His words were wonderful. People thought that salvation was by the righteousness of the law, keeping the law. And even the disciples had that view. They were amazed at things that the Lord Jesus said. For instance, when the rich man came to the Lord and said, what must I do to be saved, to inherit eternal life? And people had that view, well, you just got to be righteous by the law. And so the fellow said in front of the disciples, Jesus said to him, well, you know the law. He said, don't steal and don't kill and obey your father and mother and so forth. And the fellow said, well, Lord, I've done all these things from my youth. And Jesus said to him, well, there's one thing lacking then. He said, go sell everything that you've got and give it to the poor and come and follow me. If you want eternal life and you want reward in heaven, then you come to me. If you want salvation, you come to me. If you want reward, then you follow me. You sell what you got and give to the poor and come follow me. And he invited this young fellow to be one of his disciples. And the fellow went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. And Jesus said, how difficult is it for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He said, I'll tell you how difficult it is. He said, it's easy for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. And his disciples said, who in the world then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. In other words, it has to be a work of God. It is not by righteousness. And it's not that people that are rich have been blessed by God. They must be in pretty good shape, as the disciples and others thought, because they're wealthy people. The Lord said, don't do good to others expecting in return, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the Lord had so many wonderful things to say, and I could mention others of them, but the greatest thing that we hear the Lord Jesus say is when He says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then He turns around and says, he that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. And so the Lord invites us to come to Him. And if you've got a red letter version of the Bible, you realize that it was the Lord Jesus who said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, talking about Himself, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we could share many other things as well. The Lord Jesus certainly was different. His life was different. Well, His death was certainly different, and I wish we had more time to spend on His death, but it was so different. The Lord's death was not like anybody else's, and I won't use these words with the children, but I'll use them with you. There are three things that I think about when I think about the difference of the Lord's death, and that is that it was voluntary, that it was vicarious, and that it was victorious. It was voluntary. The Lord said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. And so the Lord Jesus' death was voluntary. He allowed them, you remember, to even arrest Him. And He made it very clear that they could not have taken Him had He not wanted to be arrested. They came to Him, and He said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And He said, I am. And they all went backwards and fell to the ground. They got themselves up off the ground, and Jesus said again to them, He said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And He said, I am He. He said, if you're seeking me, then let these go. And He was protecting His disciples. Well, the Lord allowed Himself to be arrested and to be put to death. They could have never held Him down and driven the nails through His hands. He even said, I could call down if I wanted to. When Peter pulled out his sword and whacked off Malchus' ear, He said, Peter, put your sword up. He said, if I wanted to, I could call down 12 legions of angels and destroy them all. But the Lord Jesus' death for us was voluntary. And we need to realize that not only did He volunteer to be arrested, And not only did he not call down 12 legions of angels, but every moment that he spent suffering upon the cross and dying for us, every moment of that excruciating suffering, not only physically, but even more than that, as we were thinking of this morning, that no man, we were singing, can comprehend the suffering of the Savior. As the waves of the wrath of God were poured out upon Him for our sin, at any moment the Lord Jesus had the power to say, I don't want to do it. But that would be sin, because He said, I do always those things which please the Father. And that was the plan of the Father and the plan of the Lord Jesus, to suffer for our sins. So we voluntarily stayed upon the cross until the moment that it was all over and the wrath was gone and every sin I've ever committed had been paid for. And every sin you've ever committed had been paid for. And salvation could be had for every one of us. And only then did the Lord Jesus say, it is finished. And remember, He said, no man takes my life from me. He didn't even die for lack of drink or something like that on the cross like anybody. Any other human would just hang there as long as they could, and finally their heart couldn't pump anymore. They just couldn't, their body just couldn't sustain life anymore. But that was not the way it was with the Lord Jesus. He cried out in strength, it is finished. And then it says, He bowed His head and He yielded up His own spirit. He voluntarily died for us. On Monday, we'll tell Him the Lord's different. He's different in every way. He was born different. And His life was different. What He said was different. And His works were different. And His death was different. And then on Friday, the last day, we'll tell Him, you can be different too. The people that come to know Him are different. The disciples, after the Lord's resurrection, and they needed that proof. When they saw the Lord Jesus resurrected in His resurrected body, they were different people than they had been before. And it must have amazed the people around them. You think about the disciples who, they were just mere mortal men. They got scared. They said, Master, don't you care that we're about to perish here and drown? They got angry. They said, Lord, You want us to smite with the sword? They said, You want us to call down fire from heaven? They even got mad with each other and jealous, envious of each other. They doubted. They said, Lord, we can't feed these. There's 5,000 men here. We can't feed these people. You better send them away to get something to eat. They got confused. They listened to the Lord teach and they said, Lord, we don't understand. And they'd get Him aside and they said, explain to us the parables. We don't get it. And the Lord would explain them to them. And they forsook the Lord and fled. But you see the confidence in them after the resurrection. If you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, there Peter, who had forsaken the Lord, stands up in Acts chapter 2. And I like this. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea, and he goes on to say, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And he's very bold to confront them with the death of the Lord Jesus. He said, He was delivered by God, but you have taken Him, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain Him. And there were probably people standing there saying, Isn't that one of those disciples of the Lord that ran? I thought those guys were in hiding. But they weren't in hiding, and they were bold in their witness for the Lord Jesus and confronting people about their sin and telling them that there was only one way to heaven. You know, I'm out of time here in 1 minute, according to that clock. But there's plenty of other people, too, who are different. And actually, every one of us is different. Let me just bring one person before your mind. Most all of us have heard of George Mueller, and they mention him in the lesson. George Mueller, the tremendous man of faith. He wasn't always a tremendous man of faith. He apparently was born in a family that had some money, and he was given money, and he was a spoiled brat, and he became a thief and a liar and a gambler. And he said himself that one of the favorite things he used to like to do was flash his money around and get him a real swanky hotel room and live there for a week or so and then just bail out without paying. And he finally wound up in jail. But what happened to him? He discovered Jesus. He met the Lord Jesus. And his life was changed. And he read the Bible 200 times. And he began to preach. And then he saw the orphans that needed help. And so he started a place for orphans. And then he opened up another place for orphans and another place for orphans. And he didn't have anything. His money was gone. And he would get the orphans together, and they wouldn't have anything to eat. And he'd say, "Let's all bow our heads and give thanks for the food." He was a tremendous man of faith. And you've all heard the stories. He'd give thanks for the food. And somebody would knock on the door with a broken down bread truck or whatever, and there would be the food. That man's life was changed. It was changed through the Lord Jesus. Jesus is different. His birth was different. His life was different. His words were different. His death was different. And you can be different. The disciples were different. Plenty of other people's lives completely changed. My life has been changed. If you know Him, your life has been changed. We don't know where we would be today. What kind of mess we would have. Those of us who were saved early, you know, sometimes it's often said we wish that we had been drunken bums laying in the ditch so we'd have this tremendous testimony. I tell you, I'm glad I was saved when I was young. Before, but none of us know what kind of life we would have strewn out there at this point had we never been saved. We are different because we came to know Christ as our Savior. And if there's one person that's here this morning, you know, that don't know the Lord Jesus personally, I tell you, He can change your life. He changes the life of everyone who comes to know Him. Shall we close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the person of the Lord Jesus. How different He is. He is different in every way. He was different when He was here. His birth was different. His life was different. His words were different. What He said was different. What He did was different. His death was certainly different. He rose again victorious over sin and death and hell. And we thank You that He is seated at the right hand of God to make all who will call upon Him different and to cleanse them of their sin and to save them. And so, Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You, those of us who know Him, that we have discovered Him. And we ask now Your blessing upon all who heard the Word of God this morning in our Sunday school department and out here with the in the auditorium. And we pray, Lord, for Thy blessing to fall down upon us here in the next 5 days as the Word of God is presented to these children and young people. And may some of them find Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and have their lives changed and their destination for eternity changed as well. For we pray it in the Savior's name. Amen.